This is Jared Payton from the Jared Payton Foundation, and you're listening to Too Much Scrolling. Be great today.
Good morning, and welcome to Too Much Scrolling for August 21st, 2018. I'm Steve Fodor.
I'm Chip Hessenflow.
We're just a couple of guys sitting around talking about things that are important to us. Hopefully they're important to you, and if you need more information, there's so many great ways to find more information. Boy, I'm tired.
Well, Steve, when school starts, Steve all of a sudden has a schedule.
I have stuff to do. Yeah, as opposed to the 81 days where I had nothing to do, I have been exhausted all week.
Well, I can imagine. All of a sudden, you go from a very loose schedule to a very tight schedule. If you've got children in school right now, or they're getting ready to go in school, I'm assuming they're going through the same sort of change.
trying to get that sleep schedule back, trying to get the meal planning back, trying to get all of those things in place to live our lives.
Just like the rest of the world, Steve.
Yeah, like normal people.
Film at 11.
Brings us to our film at 11, our movie of the week. You got a chance to see Disney's Christopher Robin this week.
That's right, Steve, and it stars Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Ewan McGregor is not necessarily just Obi-Wan Kenobi.
If you want to find out what goes on between Episode 3, Revenge of the Sith, and Episode 4, A New Hope, Steve, it looks like that when Obi-Wan got to Tatooine, he had some dream sequences, and this would be one of those.
From a certain point of view.
That's right. It seemed to star like some Ewok-like characters.
Winnie the Pooh is not an Ewok.
Are you sure? Well, I mean,
don't know.
There is a,
no
there's,
pants.
There's one that looks like a donkey. There's, and he was kind of a grumpy type of guy.
Yeah.
And there was one that looked like a pig, and just kind of a person who's very, very worried.
Yeah.
And Pooh, which is an Ewok.
Father.
That's right. That wasn't very bright, Steve.
I've lost my spear.
Oh, my goodness. Oh,
Tell me about this movie, Chip.
All right. So I sit down, and what ends up happening, it's like immediately tears head right to your face.
Oh, yeah.
Because there's so much dust in this entire theater. they really should have cleaned it better. The whole time you're dipping your napkin in your eyeball.
Yeah.
And yeah, all I can say is I felt totally manipulated through this whole film, because it is capable, it is reasonable. If you go see it, you're certainly going to be in for an experience that you absolutely understand.
That nostalgia, that emotion comes flooding back.
Your childhood comes back, and that's the story. Obi-Wan is reminiscing about his youth as Christopher Robin, this character, and
that's important. It's the character Christopher Robin, as opposed to the movies that were about the actual boy Christopher Robin, which are not nearly as nostalgic. That boy lived a life. This is the character Christopher Robin.
And very similar to Hook, he had forgotten his youth. He had a daughter that's sort of being neglected. Just because he's so worried about providing for life that he forgets the reason why he's living. So his wife feels neglected, his daughter feels neglected. This is a reminder to cherish the moments with your children. Because what do you think happens, Steve? Of course he rediscovers his youth, because Pooh comes and save him. This is a very good movie to enjoy, knowing you're absolutely being manipulated
the whole time.
This is saccharine sweet. I mean, what can you say?
You're
this
shaking
is just
your fist at Disney. He's rolling in his grave, smiling, and you're going, Disney.
Saving Mr. Banks was much better.
Okay.
This movie is very capable, but you just have to know that you're being manipulated the entire time.
But just go with it, because you can learn so much about life and nostalgia and caring and all of those lessons.
All right, so I'm going to be mean to this movie again. And I just kept thinking the whole time of Kenny Loggins' song, Return to Pooh Corner. And I did some research on that song. If you haven't heard the song, it's in our notes. And it's a song that Kenny Loggins wrote when he was 17 years old.
Which is pretty stunning in and of itself, because this is very reflective. This is very nostalgic. And as a 17-year-old, you're going through some changes and looking back on your youth.
Well, this was he wrote it as he was graduating from high school. So the whole ending or last chapter of Milne's book, Winnie the Pooh, is where Christopher Robin is leaving the Hundred Acre Wood mm-hmm. and joining adulthood. Mm-hmm. And in fact, the beginning of this movie, we have the scene where the characters are all waiting for Christopher Robin because he's leaving. This is the party where he leaves and becomes an adult. Well, the song was written by Kenny Loggins when he was 17, and he revisited this song. It wasn't it was released, but it wasn't released by who originally it was supposed to be released by, because Disney had just bought the Winnie the Pooh rights and Disney lawyers shut it down. He recorded it with Loggins and Messina, but he re-recorded it later in life and added a third verse. Mm-hmm. And this is where we got the title of our show this week, is basically where he's the father now, mm-hmm. looking down at his child and recognizing sort of what it means to be a father. Mm-hmm. So Kenny Loggins' song, While Saccharine Sweet, is, to me, comes across very genuine.
Right.
Where this movie just comes across like you've just gone through manipulation. You've gone through the sales funnel and you're at the end. Yeah.
And you were comparing it to the Mr. Rogers movie, Won't You Be My Neighbor, which has that same emotional connection.
Oh, yeah. But it comes across very genuine because mm-hmm. Mr. Rogers, there's no doubt that he's incredibly genuine.
Yeah.
Disney's like, I don't know, just it's like going to Vegas. Like, just give me your money. Just give me your money.
I will give you emotion. Give me your money.
And,
yeah.
And it's, you can't help but leave it just recognizing you feel used.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. You felt used, Steve.
The happiest place on earth.
Or else, right?
Or else.
All right. So anyway, what can I say? You're gonna end up watching this anyway when it comes out on video.
And you recommend this movie. You say this is a good movie, good acting, good visuals, amazing.
If you have interest in this character,
mm-hmm.
then this is an all right movie. And I would say probably 55 out of 100.
Okay.
No, I didn't say it was bad.
Right.
But I just, it would get higher if it didn't come across so saccharine.
Mm-hmm.
All I can say is they did everything right in this film. I don't think they could have changed anything.
Yeah.
And it still came across that way. So anyway, good all stuff.
Right. You also saw Downsizing. This is the Matt Damon movie where he shrinks himself down because that's the best economical move he can make because everything is cheaper when you're a lot smaller.
Well, that is partially true. This came out Christmas of last year, right around that time.
Okay.
So this was one of those movies that got lost by me because we had all those other movies.
All those great Oscar contenders, yeah.
The environmental messaging in this was pretty heavy, Steve.
Uh-huh.
They took a bat and just beat you over the head with it. But they also did a lot of good things. I like how they brought corporations in this because Matt Damon, he was a physical therapist. He worked for Omaha Steaks in Omaha, Nebraska, which is basically just showing I'm a regular guy working a regular job and I had to make a decision. So they he had a little bit of money saved, but not that much. When you shrink yourself, yes, all of a sudden the money that you have is worth $12.5 million. If they shrink you to 5 inches tall, obviously your needs are not going to be as great.
Right.
And this is a story about that. It also has some other parts to the story that are very good, and you know his wife, ultimately the twist is his wife chooses not to downsize.
Mm-hmm.
That's Kristen Wiig. She shows up with one eyebrow shaved, which is pretty funny. But the other part about this is that I left this movie, I just said this is pretty good. If you got to see it like I got to see it through iTunes for 99 cents, hey, it's a good place to spend your time. I think it's capable. I just don't think this is a great film. Once again,
fun?
55 out of 100. Yeah, kind of dramedy. There's plenty of good humor. Matt Damon's a charming guy. They've got a great cast in this. There's some funny parts to it. There's some touching parts to make you think. But like I said, the preachiness, and when I say it, when I'm watching it, I just see it. I'm not really sure if the messaging is right.
Mm.
Not
like the next Godzilla movie.
Exactly. It's this Thomas Malthus, a long time ago, he's an economist, or he may have been an economist, but he's taught in economics classes, said that, you know, we're just not going to have enough food, that populations are getting too big, blah, 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 blah. We go by this. Every time that's happened, we are still producing enough food for people. We're still struggling with, mm-hmm. with everybody getting all the resources they need. Mm-hmm. But every time we have a challenge, we seem to rise to that challenge. This type of attitude, I'm not sure if it's helpful, because what it does, it underestimates human ingenuity. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's something that we actually have to be conscious of. I did like this movie, 55 out of 100, once again, 100 being best. You're not going to waste your time, but I don't expect, you know...
Something next, huge?
Yeah, that's right, something huge. Something that's going to change your life.
You and I have both been watching Castle Rock on Hulu. We still can't talk about it. This is the psychological horror series set in the Stephen King multiverse. I am loving this show.
I am too. In fact, if you like Stranger Things and you're not watching this, then you're missing out. This is exactly the type of show that you've been looking for. Mm-hmm. This is a great example that we are in the ultimate renaissance of television. Mm-hmm. In fact, this is not the renaissance. This is the birth of proper television.
I agree.
Because if we've gone through all the stuff, the comedies, the dramedies, and all that stuff in the past, it got us to this point where if you want quality...
The producers are out there. The production companies are making this stuff, and they have so many ways to get it to you. Hulu might not be a service that you subscribe to, but it is one of the ways that productions can get there.
Well, it was mid-September the show ends, mm-hmm. and so you could watch the entire season if you wanted to watch it Netflix-like. Mm-hmm. But this is really good, and you said that this has already been renewed for season two.
Yes, sir. There will be a season two of Castle Rock. It was announced this week, and I really think that I have an idea of what is happening in this show and why these characters are acting this way, and I can't talk about it because, boy, would it be a spoiler.
Well, let's just say that so far it's been very good, and if you would like to watch some quality television, I would recommend this.
And there's lots of Usenet groups that are discussing all of the theories, so if you want to get into all of that, there's places for that. This is not the place for that.
All right, so on the 100-point scale, so far I would give it an 80.
Oh, I agree. 85. At least with an 80. I really enjoy everything about the show. You should be watching it. There's another show, though. It's called Disenchantment. We talked about this last week. It's on Netflix. It came out on Friday. It's 10 episodes. This is the next animated program from Matt Groening, the mind that brought us The Simpsons and Futurama.
So we've got a hard-drinking princess, Steve.
Uh-huh, which sounds hilarious, right? Sounds like a funny thing. Bender in Futurama was a hard-drinking robot. That was so funny. Hard-drinking princess? Not so much.
Okay. Well, I will say that when reading the you know, how they kind of have the couple sentences that describe this, I kept thinking of The Guild with Felicia Day.
Yeah.
That was released on YouTube.
It's got an element like The Guild. It's got an element like The Game of Thrones, but not that. The problem with this show is it's not a lot of things. It's not The Simpsons. Okay. It's not Futurama. It's not The Guild. It hasn't really found its place in my heart yet.
All right, so when we were going to college... You watched ALF, mm-hmm. and I did too. Mm-hmm. So, and that was sort of it was a prime time television program.
Sitcom, yeah.
That had a puppet starring in it.
Right.
That just was the perfect type of thing to be mindless and college students would jump into. Mm-hmm. This may have been, as we were preparing, this may have been released too early. Maybe this should have been released in September, after college has started, looking for that audience, because it seems like it's too old for young people and not mature enough for, like, regular people.
Regular people. You know, the old people like us. Yeah, I don't know who this is made for. I hoped that it was made for me. Being a huge Simpsons fan, I love Matt Groening's writing. This really pales in comparison to the best of The Simpsons. And it just does not find its place in my heart. The feisty elf in this is very entertaining. He says funny things and has funny adventures. The personal demon is so far my favorite character in this. He says the things that maybe shouldn't be said, maybe inappropriate things, which is where it's not a children's program.
All right, so where this could come into play is if they can somehow get to a season two.
Correct.
Usually it's not the first season. They're still exploring these characters.
So often in sitcoms and animated features like this, the first season's not the best. Like, don't find all the right buttons to push. Mm-hmm. It's in season two. I don't know if this is going to make it to season two. We live in an era where not much stuff makes it to a season two. Doesn't get a chance to find that place.
All right. Well, Steve, what is opening this week?
All right. So, I am going to find a way to go to the movie theater this week. Even though I'm busy, even though school's in place, I have to see The Happy Time Murders in theaters this week.
Well, is that because Melissa McCarthy is starting it, Steve?
Melissa McCarthy is absolutely one of the superstars of comedy in 2018. No
but
question.
But that's not the reason why you're going to see it, Steve.
No, sir. This is a movie directed by Brian Henson.
Oh, that name sounds familiar.
The son of Jim Henson.
What?
And he brought with him all of his buddies from the Henson Company, including our two friends, Grant Bachoco and Russ Walco, who are the puppeteers in this story of murderous puppets and dark, seedy lifestyle from children's television.
Steve, this reminds me of a couple of things. Mm-hmm. One, it reminds me of Avenue Q.
Absolutely. They're definitely playing on that.
The musical where the Sesame Street characters, who were not Sesame Street characters, Steve, but you know, they had things to do in the evening, so they were playing there too, got to show up and sing inappropriate music.
Very adult-oriented themes.
I didn't say inappropriate. I mean, what I meant by it was adult things, Steve. It's adult things. All right, so this one has also kind of like Where is Roger Rabbit? Sort of
the interaction between regular humans and these other people. The Muppets did that so well.
The Muppets, they're not using the words Muppets in this, are they,
no,
Steve?
No, the Henson Company certainly would not use the word Muppets in this, but the puppets that are being used are certainly kind of like those puppets, aren't they? Wink, wink.
Oh, possibly. Possibly.
I look forward to this one. I really have high expectations.
This is not a children's film.
No.
And it is sort of, once again, a reminiscence of your childhood characters, youth characters, playing adult characters.
And that is very dangerous. We've seen some things happen with characters from our youth, children's-based characters being thrust into adult situations, and it doesn't work out very well. It's not entertaining because it's neither adult nor for children. I hope that this one's going to find that right balance.
Could there be any movies that I will possibly just avoid this week, Steve?
Yes, because you don't have an 8-year-old boy in your house, you probably won't go see Axel. That is A-X-L. This is the story of a robotic dog who gets lost and found by a young skater who teaches the robotic dog to do skating tricks, and I'm sure that there's something else to the story than other than that.
Steve, this looks challenged.
It looks like a movie that should be on basic cable.
Yes, it looks like something the Sci-Fi Channel passed on, but they're going to release to a wide audience.
And maybe there's an audience for this. Maybe I don't have an 8-year-old boy in my home either, and maybe I don't understand. Remember with the movie Monster Trucks that came out last year?
Very similar to that.
That found an audience. That did
it really?
Very well in the theater. There is an audience for these kinds of movies. It's just not us.
Okay. Is there a movie that maybe has Keanu Reeves in it, Steve?
Whoa, Keanu. This movie is called Replicas. Keanu Reeves plays, of course, a synthetic biologist in this one. Biology, man. I love Keanu.
So
don't get me wrong. Don't get me wrong. It's just his voice and the way his California accent comes across, not as the smartest.
I love Keanu Reeves, and I'm going to say I don't know how he got into the sci-fi genre, but he seems to kill it.
He does well in the sci-fi genre. This one, it looks at those same issues that we've been talking about with a lot of different properties lately. The idea of can we, should we, take the consciousness of a human and put it into some other vessel, a robot, or a biological thing.
This is a very Twilight Zone story.
Yes.
The story, it looks like, is the family has passed away in a car accident. Mm-hmm. He has downloaded them into robots, mm-hmm. his family, and they become aware that they are robots.
Uh-huh.
And so the question you immediately are thrust into as a person who is watching this is, do they have the right to die with dignity?
Right.
And is it okay for a person to keep these people alive?
Is it so selfish to need those people in your life to recreate them in this horror movie lifestyle? Is that okay? These are big questions, and questions that we might be facing in the very near future.
This one, to me, looks like the movie I would go see this week.
Okay. There is a documentary called John McEnroe in the Realm of Perfection. This is another story about John McEnroe.
Well, I'm getting ready to slam down my tennis racket, Steve, and I'm going to yell at some people because, daggone it, I'm John McEnroe.
And that's what John McEnroe was for us in the 80s. He was a flamboyant, yelling, angry creature.
He was one of the statements that's made in this trailer is that he has this killer instinct.
Mm-hmm.
And this killer instinct you see with athletes. I mean, what's the difference between Michael Jordan and some of the other basketball players? Well, it's that killer instinct.
Mm-hmm.
And
the competitiveness.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. And John McEnroe has had it. Michael Jordan had it. You know, whoever your latest person, Larry Bird had it, mm-hmm. Magic Johnson had it, and if you really got down to it, all Stephen Curry. I'm talking about all these old people.
I was going to mention that.
That's right. Let's bring up to it. You know, Stephen Curry, mm-hmm. Kevin Durant, LeBron James.
LeBron James is a great example of that. That killer instinct, that competitiveness. I am going to do what it takes to win.
I'm going to will to win.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, that's the great part about the NFL Finals. That's the great part about having a football team that kind of comes together for this magic moment or mm-hmm. whatever, or a baseball team, is that all of a sudden it moves to this next level among the best. Mm-hmm.
Book it. Brings us to our book it, our book of the week. You have been really trying to make yourself a better human being the last few years. In the 4 years that we've been doing the show, we've reviewed a lot of great books and a lot of great self-help books. You got one this week called The Habit Project, 9 Steps to Build Habits That Stick. Tell us about this one.
This is by Akash Karia.
Mm-hmm.
This was recommended to me about a month or two ago. I was at a meeting and the gentleman said, hey, listen, you should really read this. And so I picked it up. It's only about an hour and a half. It's on Audible.
Mm-hmm.
And the first chapter or so, you're immediately saying, why did I agree to listen to this? It is like a sales process. If you'd like, gosh, to show up at your place talk to you about this, you know, you can hire him. And it's just like, oh, my goodness, what did I get into?
Uh-huh. But Zig Ziglar.
It's exactly.
Yeah.
And I don't mean it in the wrong way. I mean, Tony Robbins, you name the group.
Mm-hmm.
And if you love these people, great. And I don't dislike these people.
Mm-hmm.
But what I'm saying is that definitely the sales process was, and the funnel was on big, Steve.
Yeah.
So anyway, I got past that. And what I really loved about this is it's so quick.
Mm-hmm.
And it gave you an outline with just enough. This must be the speech he gives when he goes and speaks to people, Steve.
Mm-hmm.
And what we got is things like, hey, if you're going to start a habit, start small. And if you're a person who doesn't like exercising but would like to exercise more, you know, maybe the thing to do is to get up in the morning and put on your running shoes. Because by putting on your running shoes, that's very, very small. That certainly wasn't a lot of effort. But it puts you in the mindset like, oh, I could be active. Or if you wanted to do push-ups, okay, maybe doing a lot of push-ups certainly was not something you'd be interested in doing. But if you're out down on the ground and you do one, well, you probably could do another one.
Mm-hmm.
You probably could do another one. But the point is you got down on the floor and you did one. And this this idea of using your time an effort to manipulate yourself to be the person that you want to be, start small. Because if I started off and said, hey, Steve, I'd like to do running, let's go run a marathon.
that's not going to work out.
Well, first of all, you'd start it, mm-hmm. and you didn't realize the time commitment that it would take to get there, and your body's not ready for it, you're mentally not ready for it, and your chances of failing are very, very high. But if I said, hey, Steve, let's go. In fact, I'm trying to think of Simon Pegg, the one where he was the runner.
Where, Run, Fat Boy, Run.
Yes.
And my least favorite title of a movie, probably ever.
Well, there's this beautiful scene where he gets his tennis shoes on,
uh-huh.
and he heads out the door, and he stretches out, and he's getting all started, and he runs a block. Mm-hmm. And that's it. He mm-hmm. runs a block. We all laugh because he went through all this effort to run a block. But this is... This book is a good example of using that type of, you know, start small.
And build those habits. Life is all about habits. And mm-hmm. if you can motivate yourself with those small little changes, maybe that pattern can become the way of life that you experience.
And you know, by the way, almost everything he's talking about. In mm-hmm. fact, the entire time I'm listening to this, I kept coming back that, yes, he's pulling from Dan Ariely down at Duke University. Well, I've read at least two of his books,
mm-hmm.
and I understand what he's doing, because he talks about using behavior economics to manipulate for good. Now, you do it for good, you can do it for evil. But uh-huh. my point is if you're looking to do things, little tweaks on how you look at things could help out. Well, anyway, we talk a little bit about that. We talk a little bit about having a positive attitude and how that helps yourself. I'm not talking about being fake, just like, hey, everything's great when everything's not great. But what I'm talking about is being an optimist.
Mm-hmm.
And being an optimist is a person saying, hey, listen, we can get through this. Even through difficult times, we can get through this. Where it really came to hit me, I think it was like the Book of Life. It was written by a guy that was in the concentration camp.
Hmm.
And one of the most memorable parts of that book that I remember reading was he said, I knew when people were going to die. I knew when people were going to die. And they were in the concentration camp. And he said, how did I know that? He said, you could see it in their eyes. You could wow. see it in their spirit.
Mm-hmm.
It's like all of a sudden they gave up on life.
Mm-hmm.
Now, many things we go through in life are very challenging. You got sick. You had something traumatic going in your life. Business is failing.
People come in and out of your life all the time.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, people die. You mm-hmm. know, whatever those challenges are you have in life, I'm not saying that those challenges aren't real, because they are real. But that idea that you can rise above it or you can get up the next day, well, that's a real big concept to gulp down. And I can't help but think that many people who are experiencing depression or experiencing challenges in their lives, the idea of having a confidant or a person you can contact to help you walk through it, sometimes you just need somebody to walk you through it.
Mm-hmm.
I can't make a decision to make that action. And to have someone say, hey, listen, you know, we're going
to
do this.
I'm going to give you permission to make this decision. I'm going to help you through it as much as I can.
Sure.
But I'm giving you permission to make a decision. That goes a long way.
Now, as a person who's being asked of that, you're not always willing to, you know, if you're making the decision on what's for dinner tonight, nobody's going to get killed on that.
Right.
But if you're making, like, should I buy this house or not, you know, that's a decision that's a legal question. And my point is that you're going to have to use your skill and discretion to make sure they own their decision on that.
Which is why.
So recognizing your part to play in something like that.
Right. Which is why I said, I'm not going to make a decision for you. I'm giving you permission to make the decision. You know that you need to make this decision. Mm-hmm. I will sit with you while you talk it through so that you can make that decision.
Now, I'm going to... he has a whole list of these little things. And yes, over the hour and a half, you will go, oh, yeah, I remember this. It's just a quick, deep reminder of those type things. So once again, I had this bitter feeling going in, and I left it thinking, oh, this is great. But... You remember we read the book about making your bed?
Mm-hmm. When you get up? Well, I thought about that when you were talking about this earlier.
Oh, this is exactly. Uh-huh. He says make your bed.
Small things.
Yeah, the small things you can do to change. You know, if you had the worst day in the world, you come home and your bed's made.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? When you get up in the morning, you make your bed, the first task you have for the day has been accomplished.
Mm-hmm.
So there's all these wonderful things that you can get from making your bed, or, you know, keeping an orderly home, or whatever you choose. If you can't keep an orderly home, keep an orderly room. If you can't keep an orderly room, keep the orderly bed. You know, using your time to, I'm sorry, looking at the things that you can do and making positive decisions on it. I like this. I recommend it, especially if you want something that as you're driving someplace mm-hmm. or you're commuting to downtown or wherever you're doing.
After you're done listening to all your podcasts.
Exactly. And that's why you listen to podcasts, to help us. Let us help you. What can I say?
No kidding. This is called The Habit Project, 9 Steps to Build Habits That Stick by Akash Kharia. You can find it on our Amazon store, amazon.toomuchscrolling.com.
And thank you, Michael, for recommending this.
There you go.
Scroll with it.
Brings us to our scroll with it. There's lots of things happening in the world. Let's talk about almost none of them. But we do need to express our sympathy that we did lose a huge beacon in our lives. The Queen of Soul herself, Aretha Franklin, passed away this week at age 78.
Well, and she had such a beautiful voice, mm-hmm. and she was just this is in many ways our parents.
Mm-hmm.
She's the right age on that. She came into being, I guess, in the late 50s or 60s as far as a singer. We became aware of her, of course, because of the Blues Brothers.
Yes, sir.
Watching rated R movies as a kid certainly not something we always did.
That's right. But the Blues Brothers was certainly a touch point for my life. I have certainly gone through my life knowing the Blues Brothers and knowing blues and soul music, rhythm and blues, because of that movie.
Well, and we learned the song Respect mm-hmm. from it. And of course, we learned that Ray Charles can shoot a gun.
It's a great movie that honors the past of music with those wonderful musicians in the mix in the Blues Brothers. And Aretha Franklin certainly is my queen of soul because of that movie.
Well, she was, in fact, she continued to sing, I would say, up until maybe a year ago.
Yeah.
So anyway, we're powerful. Sorry to lose her. But she had such a wonderful body of work, mm-hmm. and thank you for giving that to us.
That's right. Star Wars, Chip. Star Wars.
Star Wars.
There's a cartoon Star Wars coming in the fall, October 7th, on the Disney Channel. It's called Star Wars Resistance. It is the story of the resistance that's happening between The Force Awakens and The Last Jedi. I love the fact that we have the opportunity to have these extra stories in between all of the canon movies.
Well, I think that that's where the property becomes much more valuable.
Mm-hmm.
As the movies stretch on, it's the deep fans
mm-hmm.
and the ability to tell, you know, these stories between.
And to look at these characters. The characters in the Resistance are all going to be there for this cartoon. The voice actors who are still with us from the movies will be doing their characters in this cartoon. Unfortunately, there is no Carrie Fisher anymore to give her voice to Princess Leia. So there's another voice actor who's going to be taking up that mantle for this cartoon. I look forward to this.
Well, and it looks like Luke is still going to be alive for this, Steve.
Mm-hmm.
Not that we give away any spoilers.
We'll see. We'll see what happens in the next canon film about that.
I'm going to be a ghost now, Steve.
Probably. Speaking of ghosts, Kevin Spacey's kind of a ghost, isn't he?
Well, he is. He really, if you're not aware, he had a scandal.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the type of scandal that would kill your career.
Mm-hmm.
And he is a person that's being punished for that.
Yes.
And we still can't help but saying that he was an incredible actor.
He is an incredible actor. And the question that I keep asking, and we talked about this last week, is can we divorce his skill as an actor from his personal, really not okay problem?
Well, I will say that the lineup at the movie theater is not particularly strong.
No.
And based on what the studio was willing to put out to support his film.
Yes. The film that was released this week was called The Billionaire Boys Club, and on opening day, it made $126. Not $126 million, $126.
And I'm sure what the studio is saying is, we fulfilled our obligation to this
right.
film. It will be out. It will be released on video or whatever it is. This is what's going on with Kevin Spacey. You know, you can see what it did to Bill Cosby.
Mm-hmm.
You can see what it did to Pee Wee Herman,
mm-hmm.
Louis C.K.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have some kind of scandal that ends up happening. And by the way, Pee Wee Herman's was certainly, I mean, he it wasn't that big of a deal on some level.
It was not really hurting anyone in the same way that some of these other scandals were certainly hurtful.
Absolutely. And he was demonized for a long time. But yes, anyway, many times it's hard to rise above this. Very similar to Joe Paterno, who was the Penn State football coach, and his involvement or lack of involvement or lack of proper response to Jerry Sandusky's scandal. That was a pedophile case for you non-sports fans out there. This is a great example of just someone who's going to not have a career anymore.
Right.
That's. I'm sad for that. I do have interest in seeing this film, just as I have interest in seeing the Getty film. Hopefully, eventually, they'll release that one with Kevin Spacey's playing the role, because I know it's quality.
Right.
And I'm willing to watch it and divorce myself from this.
Yeah.
But I also recognize that it's very unlikely he'll ever be given those types of roles again.
Because it would be adding to the scandal if they did so. It's an interesting place that we live in with all of this news that comes at us. We've got ways to share this idea and all of this news. Gmail has released what they're calling confidential mode for mobile devices this week.
And that seems to be a real... basically a name that does not reflect really what's going on here, Steve.
Yeah, this is a way to send email that is not more secure. It seems like it should be end-to-end encryption. For those of you who don't know what that is, it's scrambling your text so that it can only be read with the right password.
Well, and
that's not what this is.
In fact, let me clarify that a little bit. If I send Steve an email from my email address to Steve's email address, and let's just say they're both Gmail accounts. Mm-hmm.
Probably are.
If you interrupted that email as it was traveling from my box to his inbox, it's very unlikely you would ever be able to unscramble them. That's what encryption is.
Okay. That's what you were trying to say. I'm sorry. Yes. I thought you were giving an example of what is happening.
No.
With encryption.
Okay, so that is with traditional Gmail as it was established. And guess what? That works the same way if you're using Apple's email service. Mm-hmm. If I was sending it from my Apple email to Steve's Gmail account, it's also encrypted. This new service that is called Confidential Mode does not have that same security.
With confidential mode, you can set an expiration date and a passcode so that you can restrict access to the email either in the web interface or via messaging SMS, and recipients won't be able to copy or paste or print or forward that message. That's what confidential mode does.
All right, so that's pretty interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, there is a use for that. Imagine I'm a business and I've got to send you some information. But I only want you to have it available for a certain amount of time. Now, I'll be honest with you. If you have anything with your taxes or an accountant or CPA or anything like that, it can be very painful, because if you don't get it within the 24 hours or 48-hour window, you have to continue to send it back to me. You know, that type of thing.
And you have a legal obligation to hold on to that data for reporting, just like I do at the school level.
Sure.
All of that data is public knowledge to a degree, and it has to be retained for a certain amount of time in each of our industries.
Yeah, well, mine's different but similar in the sense that any email I send out has to be retained. And we've got professional services that we do that, and they back up everything for all those fun things.
Yeah.
And we've got secure ways of passing information on. This looks like that, well, you'll have to find out if it is useful to you. I'm not sure how useful it is.
And the problem is that it might lull users into a false sense of security. They might think that this is doing something that it actually is not. And that's where the Electronic Frontier Foundation came in and said, be very cautious of this.
Yeah. Google obviously felt there was a need for this type of thing. I'm going to be very forward in this. I'm not sure if this is going to be useful to our listeners. You're going to be better off, or most likely better served, by just using your regular Gmail account.
I agree. This is a little in-depth for our listeners. Is that what you're trying to say?
There's a lot going on, Steve.
Steve's a nerd. Got it. Yes, Chip. It's Christopher Robin movies. Good. Got it.
Oh, good Lord.
I don't know, Chip. I think we have enough information, maybe too much information, to survive enough another week. What do you think?
Only if we can come back next week, Steve.
I think we can. I think we got so much to talk about, and maybe I'll find my sleep pattern and be more awake for next week. If you need more information, give us a call or a text. Our phone number is 805-4104-TMS. Our website is TooMuchScrolling.com. Our email is TooMuchScrolling@gmail.com. We're on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook. We're on iTunes and Stitcher and TuneIn Radio, and every day of the week. You can find our news at our news site, news.TooMuchScrolling.com. I want to thank you again for listening to Too Much Scrolling. I'm Steve Fodor.
I'm Chip Hessenflug.
We'll see you in the future.